Good morning, welcome to our service. A special welcome to all visitors that we have with us this morning. The intimations are printed on the order of service. The one thing that I would draw your attention to is the Joint Church's Pentecost celebration, which is this afternoon at Craigie Buckler Church. So the idea is that you tootle along there as soon as the service is finished. Eat some sandwiches, there'll be a tradecraft stall, not here, but in Craigie Buckler today, and there will be a service of worship between 1 and 1:30. Pleased to welcome the Reverend Phil Lightbody, who is leading us in worship this morning.
Thank you very much, thank you. Great to be with you again today, and thanks for the opportunity to come and be among you again. Being a visitor, I've realised I've omitted something that Ewan normally does. Ewan normally has the topic heading on your bulletin, which I realise I've not done. You'll forgive me for that. And because it's Pentecost Sunday, we're going to be thinking today about the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given to his church and to us. So we're going to be thinking about his work in our lives, whether that's in some of the songs we're going to sing, in our prayers, and we're going to particularly looking at a passage from Ephesians, which is crammed full of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives. So we're going to be celebrating that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit today. So let's join together by singing number 132 in your songbooks. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. The children like to come out and join me here, and I'll take a seat down here. Now, would you all like to put your hand into this bag and take out one of whatever's in here? Okay, it's a spoon. Yeah, great. Now, I don't collect spoons, but I've raided my kitchen cutlery drawer. Has everybody got one? Somebody else want to come across? No, you haven't got one? Okay. Uh, Anyone else would like one? I've just about got every spoon in the drawer that I could find. Anyway, that's good. Okay, right.
There's a bag.
Sorry?
There's a bag.
There's a bag, yeah. Oh, yes, there's another bag. That's right. I had a small bag. I'd wrapped them up, but a hole appeared in it, so I had to get a bigger bag. Right. Now, what I would like you to do is, could you breathe in, okay? And then breathe out with your mouth open, okay? So it's, okay? We'll practice that for a minute or two. Great, okay, I think we're experts. Now, what I would like you to do is, breathe in, and then breathe out onto the inside of the spoon, okay? So can we do that? Now, what do you think's going on here? You've breathed out. What do you see? What do you feel? You can maybe feel your spoon. What do you feel?
You can feel some wet.
Yeah, that's right. Great, fantastic. Yeah, it's a bit sticky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when you actually breathe into it, you can see it kind of changing a bit as well, can't you? Does anyone know what that's caused by? Any budding scientists around us? No? Well, what happens is when we breathe on it, the moisture from the water in our mouth, it changes from water into steam when it hits the cold surface of the spoon. Okay? Okay. Another look.
The spoon is sticky.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Another little experiment. Can you turn your hands over? So you've got the. You might like to put your spoons down. So you've got the back of your hands. You can see the back of your hands, right? What I'd like you to do is blow on the top of your hands. Okay, see what you can feel. Just blow. You feel the moving air on your back of your hands. Now I've got a few more hairs because I'm a bit older than you guys.
I've got none.
No, you've got none. Yes, that's right. Yeah, but you can actually see my hairs move. Sorry.
I've got
hairs. Oh, so you have. That's good. Yeah, you're looking very resplendent. I must say. Yeah, fantastic.
My hairs
are still. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You've got hairs on your legs, that's right. Yeah. I've got a few of those too, but I won't show them today. Okay. Now, today we're thinking about God's gift to us of the Holy Spirit. And just like our breath on the spoons, and just like when we blow on the back of our hands, we can't see him, but we can feel his effects in our lives. We can notice the difference that he makes in our lives, just as we were thinking about the breath. And one of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit that God talks about in the Bible is that the Holy Spirit is like breath. So we can't see him, but we can appreciate the difference that he makes in our lives, what he does, although we can't actually see him physically. And we need the Holy Spirit in order for us to live out what it means to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. That may be when he helps us understand who God is. That may be when he gives us courage when we feel afraid. Or that may be when he helps us to do what's right. So the Holy Spirit is our friend who comes alongside us to help us. Sorry? When we're sick. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can ask him to make us better. That's right. That's right. So let's just pray and thank God for his gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for my young friends here. And thank you for all the potential they have in their lives to live for you and to serve you. And I pray that they would know day to day what a friend that they have in you sending the Holy Spirit to help them and to be alongside them and to encourage them. May they experience his power and his love in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you. And I'd really appreciate if you give them a spoon back, so my wife will be saying, where have all the spoons gone? So just remember, though we can't see the Holy Spirit, we can appreciate his work in our lives, okay? And that he's with us every day. Great, thank you. Let you go back to your seats. Right, we're going to continue our worship by singing number 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind, number 600. Let's bring our prayers to God. Father God, on this Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate your gift to us of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for his presence in our lives. Thank you that he is your empowering presence in our lives, assisting us and helping us to live out what it means to be a Christian. We thank you for all the things that he brings to us. Thank you that he brings assurance that we're loved by you. Thank you that he produces that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, making us more like Jesus in our character. Thank you that he gives gifts in order for us to serve you and work out your purposes in our world. Thank you that he brings unity among us, so that we're able to relate to one another and appreciate each other's contribution. And thank you that he empowers us to serve you. Thank you for the energy and strength that he releases into us in order for us to live out what it means to follow Jesus. And we ask on this day of celebration and remembering him that you would pour out a fresh power and inspiration upon every walk of our lives. May we receive increasing strength and faith and love in order for us to share the gospel in word and deed to those we come across. And Father, we thank you for his work in us to renew us and to cleanse us as we take a moment to confess our failings and things that have made us feel guilty, or things we've said and done that we wish we hadn't. We bring these to you now. Knowing and thanking you for your abundant mercy and grace that comes to meet us, that pardons us and restores us. Lord, meet with us today. Enlarge our vision of how amazing you are. We offer ourselves afresh to you that we might serve your purposes here in this neighborhood and across this city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to hear a couple of Bible readings by Kathleen, and again, they're all talking about who the Holy Spirit is and his work in our lives. Thank you.
Our first reading is from the book of Joel, chapter 2, reading verses 28 and 29, and this can be found on page 883 of the Bible. The Day of the Lord. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. At that time, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, both men and women. And then we read from the book, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, at verse 13. And that's on page 240. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers and ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know him. I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death and seated him at his right side in the heavenly world. Christ rules there above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers, and lords. He has a title superior to all titles of authority in this world and in the next. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over all things. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him who himself completes all things everywhere. May God bless these readings from the Holy Word.
Amen. Thank you. Let's continue in worship then by singing number 599. Holy Spirit, hear us. Help us while we sing. 599. This letter to the Ephesians is crammed full of descriptions of the Holy Spirit. It says an awful lot about his work, and we're going to think about this particular passage from Ephesians chapter 1 today. And I want to just suggest four images in this passage that we've had read out to us that describe some of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. So as we're thinking of the Holy Spirit, we're remembering that he is a person, he is part of the Godhead, and he is at work in our lives. So the first, and these are all very vivid illustrations that Paul gives us in this chapter of Ephesians 1. And the first one is, the Holy Spirit is a seal of belonging, a seal of belonging. So the Holy Spirit's presence in a Christian is a bit like a label to mark us out that we belong to God, that we're his. In order for us to identify or something belonging to us, we sometimes label it, don't we, or write our signature in it to remind people that it belongs to us, that we are the owners of it. So the Bible describes this mark of belonging as a seal. And that was a vivid image in Bible days, and as goods or documents were sealed up with a special sealing wax, which, while still warm, could be imprinted or stamped with the owner's seal or special imprint to convey who it belonged to. And that illustration comes from the sort of commercial trading that was going on in Bible times, a little bit different to the way that we shop today. But the illustration is being used from the kind of trading that was going on in Bible times in that day. And this is how it would work. A merchant who was trading at the beginning of the day, he would purchase things as he was going around the marketplace. Now, he wouldn't have a supermarket trolley to carry things around. They didn't have, obviously, those things in those days. So he would mark them with his distinctive seal, as I've just described, and leave them at an appropriate place and go back at the end of the day when he'd finished his trading and pick up his packages. They're obviously a bit more trusting in those days. But that's how it would work. That's how, and that's where this illustration comes from, that we're a seal marked out as belonging to God. So like an old-fashioned seal, we are marked out as belonging to God because of the Holy Spirit within us. Proof of identity that can never be forged, never altered, never changed. Living proof that we belong to God. So the Holy Spirit then is a kind of assurance to us in our lives, evidence that we belong to God, that we're part of his kingdom. So whenever we're aware of an urge to reach out for God's love, to be reassured of his companionship, to receive his empowering, we do so because of the Holy Spirit within us. He testifies deep within our spirits that we belong to God. And we need that assurance in life. I need that assurance in life at times. Romans 8, verse 16, a link verse says, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Young children often need reassurance, don't they? They often need reassurance that they belong to their family, that they're part of, that they're connected to their mum and dad. They're like that. They need to know that they're loved, cherished, and that they belong. As children of God, as adults, we too need that assurance that we belong to God. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring that assurance. He's like a seal of belonging in our lives. So that's the first vivid illustration. The second is, what's mentioned in verse 14 in that passage, that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of an inheritance, a guarantee of inheritance. People sometimes get disappointed over the inheritance that they thought was coming to them, can't they? There is less than they thought. Maybe they get cut out of somebody's will as well. Sadly, disputes arise in families, often over inheritances. You know what they say, where there's a will, there's a family. I remember an ex-colleague of mine recalling a particular visit that he was making back to his parents' home, and he was with his two of his siblings were also there for this visit, and they were visiting their parents who live in one of the Inner Hebridean Islands. And during the weekend, my colleague's mum took her three children outside the house and said, "Listen, I wanted to talk to you about your inheritance. You see that field over there? That's your inheritance." And unknown to my colleague, he'd played on that field as a young boy, just not far from where his parents' house was, not knowing that he was actually playing on top of his inheritance. We have an incredible inheritance coming to us as Christians, one that really is incredible and exciting for us, one that we'll never be disappointed over, unlike some people's maybe inheritance, a future stored up for us that goes beyond this life, life eternal, God's desire to remake and restore our world, heaven and earth being fused together. We've got an incredible inheritance coming to us as Christians. And a sign that guarantees that future hope is the Holy Spirit within us. Because he's been poured out into our lives, that's a sure promise that all that God has planned for the future will happen. We can be certain about that. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a tad optimistic. Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our lives, that is a guaranteed sign that the future that God has planned for us will happen. And it's like also that the Holy Spirit is like a foretaste of that future to come. Hebrews 6 verse 5 says, explains it this way, "Because we share in the Holy Spirit, we have a kind of taste of the power of the age to come." Because we experience the reality and the blessing and the power of God at work in our lives in living this Christian life, we can have a taste of the goodness of God that will one day remake the whole cosmos. That's God's plan, not to throw away our world, but to restore it and to remake it, to get all of the wrong things out of it and to restore it and to remake it. That's our fantastic inheritance that is coming to us, that we can encouraged by. And as the text says, that's our hope that we're looking forward to. The third vivid picture that the text tells us is that the Holy Spirit is a means of revelation. The text says that in verse 17, "The Spirit will give wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus better." The Spirit will give wisdom and revelation that we may know Jesus better. A linked verse to this is what comes in chapter 5 of Ephesians when it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." As I've said, there's lots of references to the Holy Spirit throughout this whole letter. So the Bible's saying there, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So just to be clear, this verse is not saying that we can't drink alcohol, okay? Just to be very clear on that. But what it's doing is, the writer here is painting a contrast for us. He's describing a contrast for us of how we know that too much alcohol, excessive alcohol, can powerfully, adversely affect you, can't it? And encouraging us with the fact that we're called to live under another powerful influence, the Holy Spirit himself. And see, because that's the thing, isn't it, when we think about excessive alcohol. That can cloud our vision, can't it? We can't see things clearly. We're not able to make wise judgments because our judgment is impaired if we're drunk. We can't take things in. Our minds get dulled. So the contrast is that the Holy Spirit clarifies our vision of God. He makes God clear to us. He enables us to understand God better, to know him more and more, to see things that matter, to help us in our ongoing discovery of who God is. And as the verse says, we can be helped to live more wisely as a result. So the Holy Spirit brings revelation to our lives in order to help us understand what God has blessed us with. In order, as verse 18 says, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So God, by the Holy Spirit, inspires us with hope for the future that is to come. that we've just thought about, to inspire us and remind us and encourage us with that hope. So the Holy Spirit then is always directing us towards God. He wants us and helps us to see the bigger picture in life and to enable us to experience the resources of God in our lives. So he's a means of revelation. And then fourthly, he's a source of power for our lives too. The writer reminds his readers of the incomparably great power to those who believe. That's what the text says. His incomparably great power to those who believe. So the fact that the Holy Spirit is continually in the presence of God and also within us puts us, as Christians, in direct access to draw on God's strength and energy through the power of a person, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever gone to make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and you've switched on the kettle and you've come back a few minutes later to find that the kettle hasn't boiled, nothing's happened, and you've discovered that you haven't switched the main switch on? Yeah, I do that quite often and forget to switch the main switch on. Well, the Holy Spirit is a bit like that. He's like the mains connection to God's power supply. And we need to switch the switch on. We need his empowering in our lives. We need God's power to live out what it means to live the Jesus life, to equip us for serving, to fulfill the purposes of God, to live as a witness for Jesus, to energize us to serve him. I've heard people say when viewing the Christian life, I couldn't keep that up. That's too hard. That's too difficult. Or I'd never be able to fulfill those values and principles that the Christian life stands for. As if living the Christian life is about striving in our own strength to do something or to live a particular way. But we're not meant to try to live that way, are we? We need the help of the Holy Spirit. God has provided us with the gift of the Holy Spirit in order for us to live out what this means to follow Jesus. So we're not meant to live this Christian life on our own. God has promised us a helper, as John's gospel describes it, or some of the other words that are translated as advocate, as counselor, as comforter, as encouraging. Fantastic words, aren't they, to describe the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Here's one of the definitions or a description of the Holy Spirit, which I particularly like, is essentially one who comes alongside us to help. I love that description. One who comes alongside us to help. So his engagement with us is fellowship, not domination. His engagement, the Holy Spirit's engagement with us, is fellowship. It's a relationship, because fellowship is an interactive term, isn't it? And that's how the Holy Spirit works with us. It's a relationship that we enjoy with him. You know the doxology that we often say, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever kind of just paused to think about that, because it's, as I say, it's an interactive term. It's fellowship. It's not domination. It's like the Holy Spirit respects us for who we are, but recognizes that we need the help and power of God at work in our lives to live out this thing called life as God intended. That's why the Holy Spirit is often referred to as God's empowering presence. So we need to engage with this power source to get help to pray, because often I struggle sometimes to know how to pray and how to get the words out, and then the Holy Spirit can help us. We need the Holy Spirit help to serve the purposes of God. We need the Holy Spirit's help to live out God's guidelines for living that I've just been thinking about there. We need his help to bear witness for Jesus. We need his help to live out holy lives. We need the Holy Spirit in order to help us to do all those things. And that's God's intention for us. We are to go on depending on the Holy Spirit and his empowering. We're to enjoy this fellowship, not domination, but fellowship, as we interact with him, as we draw on God's resources and energy in order for us to serve him. May that be our motivation and our desire as followers of Christ. Let's just pause for a moment, and I'm just going to pray just briefly, and then we'll continue with our service. Father, thank you on this day when we remember your gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that he represents, all that he brings to our lives. And as we thought already with the children, although we can't see him, we can sense and feel and experience and notice the difference that he makes in our lives. We thank you for his continued presence. We thank you that he invites us into fellowship with him, where he, as we've been thinking about it, he respects us for who we are, but recognizes we need his help in order to live out what it means to follow Jesus. And we thank you for that wonderful gift that you've made possible for us. Help us, each and one, every one of us, to access his power as you would wish. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take our offering up now, if the office bearers would like to come and help us do that. Let's take a moment to bring our prayers to God. If Philippians 4 tells us to present our requests to God with thanksgiving, so we're going to just do that, bring our requests to God with grateful hearts. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Thank you for this opportunity that we've just had to release our gifts to you, and we would pray your blessing on all these gifts that we've offered today. Make them effective in the work of this church, in this area, and across the city and further afield. And Father, we're grateful for all that we have in life to enjoy. Thank you for our families that you've placed us in. Thank you for the homes that we have. Thank you for our friends that we enjoy and are grateful for. Thank you for our vacations that you've given us. Thank you for the interest that we can enjoy in life. We thank you for all the ways that we acknowledge your goodness to us to make life enjoyable. And Father, we bring to our concerns to you, our plans, our hopes, and we submit them to you and ask for your guidance and direction. And we pray too for those that we know who are unwell, who are lonely, who are suffering in some way. And we ask that the comfort of the Holy Spirit would be with them, helping, healing, restoring. And Father, thank you for the work of this church. Bless all in leadership here. May they know that unity of purpose as they make decisions and form ongoing plans for the work of this church. Bless all that happens through the church centre down the road. Thank you for the way that it meets community needs and is able to share the gospel through various activities. Thank you for the opportunity to meet with other churches today, later on, this morning. Strengthen friendships and unity among these churches, we pray. Father, we thank you for Ewan and all that he gives to the people in this parish and of this church. We ask that you'd refresh him while he's away on study leave. May he find all that he's thinking about and learning and coming across stimulating and helpful. And help him to know where he can apply what he's been thinking and engaging with here in his ministry here. Thank you for the Christian Aid visiting that's taking place in the parish at the moment. Pray that you'd bless all those who are visiting homes. May they be well received, and may connections for the church be made as this visitation happens. Father, we pray for everyone who's sitting exams at the moment, for the young people who you maybe know and love. Help them, we pray, as they revise what they've been learning. Help them to answer the questions on the day in an informed way and be able to apply what they've learned over the previous months. And we pray for the teachers too, that you'd strengthen them, that they would know how best to support and encourage the young people in their care at this time. And Father, we pray for our nation that we're a part of. We pray for the Scottish Parliament as it reconvenes again after the elections. We pray for all those who represent the people of Scotland. May they act and serve with integrity and humility and understand and know how best to serve their constituencies well. And Father, we pray for our world that we see so much good, but we see all so much that we that concerns us too. We thank you for that anti-corruption conference that took place in London in the last week. And we know corruption is an issue that affects so many people across the world. And we ask that agreement from this the conference that's taken place would lead to concrete steps to eradicate corruption. We pray for a strong will from the countries taking part to implement the things that they've agreed in these last few days. And Father, we ask that you'd continue to shine your light in the dark places, bringing or disclosing what's wrong and bringing it into the light that it might be dealt with. So Father, we bring all these concerns to you, knowing that you're a God who listens and acts on our prayers. Thank you for the invitation you give us to partner with you in your work in advancing the kingdom of God in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to conclude our service by singing 595, another great hymn describing the Holy Spirit's work in us. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Some words from 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit remain with you and bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen.